Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you sue the PGA Tour, you're suing every single member that plays out here. So, you know, you're bringing something against your peers that you've played out here, you know, week in, week out for the last few years. And that's what makes it feel a little personal.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know, Oregon is interesting because, you know, they got four freaks all on the defensive side of the ball. And, it, you know, the question is, are they going to be good on offense? But they have, like, I could have had any one of these four guys in my top 25. That's really how impressive they are athletically.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Santana to right field, back and bombs away! Go ahead, seventh inning, two-run tank, Carlos Santana!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader. 1080, The Fan. Happy Thursday, everybody. How we doing? How we feeling?
What is happening? I'm a little sore today. I had a rough leg day yesterday. You got those? The next day leg? Feel like you can't walk. You got peg legs on.
I have to, I got to be honest. I do know what that's like, especially me. I got wimpy little deer legs. So if I do any leg day, it's just like wobbling like a giraffe.
You got some
doesn't
pants.
Matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
I will beat your ass.
And somebody listened to our show yesterday goes, can you explain what that means? And I went, nope, nope, not at all. But that's a football coach, and football coaches say things all the time that don't make any effing sense.
Like the comic that shows up in the New Yorker in Seinfeld. Elaine's like, this doesn't make any sense. You know what this means? No, I thought the little bear was cute. Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, I don't know how or why I ended up with one of those daily rip apart calendars, and it's from the New Yorker. I don't have a New Yorker subscription. I don't even know where this came from.
It's a day-to-day calendar?
It's a day-to-day, so it's like literally August 11th. Here we go.
Does it come with like a cool word or something? I've wanted to do those for a while.
It's not a word a day. It is the comic from the New Yorker. It's the drawings, and it's supposed to be a joke. And some days I read it, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, kind of funny.
I've had, I don't know, 20, 18, something like that amount of days where I've read it and 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 I've looked at the photo and I go, I don't get what the joke is here at all. I am too dumb for the New Yorker comic strips. Okay.
I don't think you're too dumb for the New York comic strips. I think they just run out of good jokes. That's a lot of jokes, man. That's a lot of cartoons. A year's worth of cartoons?
365.
Come on. Yeah. If you asked me to come up with 365 good sports takes, I'd get to like 97. You know? And then I just have
to. You could easily come to 365.
And then I have to start throwing random junk in there, you know, all sorts of just pulling stuff out of your ass. And you'd get to like day 106 on my sports take calendar. You'd be like, really? That's your take today? That's all you got?
I mean, sure. You're going to have days like that. You're going to start day one. QBR is a dumb stat. Let's stop keeping track of it. You know what I mean? Like, there's your first take. And then by day 365, 366, whatever the year is, yeah, it fades a little bit. Can we stop doing the wave? Like, that's the sports take that
there's
ends
a take,
the year.
Yeah. You can save that for December. Now, the question is, when you have good comics or good takes, do you do them 90 days in a row, or do you sprinkle them throughout like a pleasant surprise? You go like a week straight with bad takes, and then boom, here on a random Tuesday, here's a good take.
I think you try to sprinkle in two good takes a week, okay. Whereas like I think comics, they're always aiming to be funny every day. I think they're doing something similar, 3-4 funny ones or things you would say, quote unquote, are funny. But the thing about those comic strips, and I've noticed this since I was a kid, first reading newspaper comics to an adult where I don't have a newspaper subscription, but when I come across them, I'll read them once in a while.
Hey, grab one.
They're never really that funny to me. The Garfield and the Dilbert and the, it's just like, you don't like working. You're lazy. You're underpaid. Like, yeah, you're just.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, it's like,
sounds
okay.
Like my day-to-day life.
Ha, 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 ha. Like, you ever seen somebody read a comic strip? I had an uncle, I have an uncle. I haven't seen him in years. My mom's side of the family is a mess. I have an uncle, and he used to read these we'd have get-togethers at my great-grandma's house. And we'd be out playing in the back and barbecue. He would kind of be by himself reading these, and he would, like, genuinely laugh. And I'd always like, he really finds this funny. And he'd put it down and I'd read it. And yeah, I'm 9 or 10, but like, I'm not understanding, I guess, the humor. Well, I've become an adult now. I still don't. What are you laughing about that hard?
It's still not funny.
I still don't think they're that funny.
Of all the forms of medium, too, or media that could go out of business, the drawn comic is so far down the totem pole and has been leapt by so many things just from a comedic value. Like, think that, I mean, that was all invented before stand-up comedy was a thing. So now you have the ability to just go watch somebody. I could pull up comedy anytime on my phone, on Netflix, on HBO, on TV, whatever, right? You can pull any funny thing you want.
The funniest people in the world. You can pull it up
exactly.
On your phone.
Let's watch a 5-minute clip. This is great. Hell, yeah. They're all over Instagram. That's like half my Instagram feed now because I like one thing about a stand-up comic, and now all I get is stand-up comedy things, which is like, all right, this is a little bit better than nothing but hot chicks for a bit. Thanks for mixing it up, Instagram. But then you go to like, you also have like America's Funniest Home Videos. You have like those kind of things where it's just home videos of people doing stupid stuff and you're going to laugh your ass off
sure.
At that. All of that is significantly more funny than a drawn comic.
Yeah.
It has been pushed that far down. Like, I'm surprised they even exist anymore.
I feel like it's not to do the age thing, but to do the age thing a little bit here. I do feel like it's more in like Oswego's wheelhouse. You know what I mean?
A little
I
think more hoity-toity.
No, it's not hoity-toity.
It's a hoity-toity thing.
No, it's more of what he probably grew up with was everybody got the news from the newspaper. Yeah. And, you know, you had your five news channels. And if you weren't watching that, you were reading news. And nerds like him were probably stealing the paper to read the comic strip. Were you a pretty big comic strip newspaper kid?
No.
Okay, I guess way wrong.
No,
sports,
not the case.
Sports section first.
Sure, absolutely.
Grab that, would tear that apart. Then usually the lifestyle section, movies, you know, that sort of thing.
Lifestyle, huh?
Yeah.
10-year-old Swigard reading the lifestyle section.
The home and garden section?
Yeah.
What are we planting this
Cooking,
year?
Cooking, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah,
and then probably the local section before like the front page business, you know, big political business use. But the local section on your community, you know, you were always interested.
The Metro. The
Metro section, is what they called it. So,
I missed that. Yeah, section. I do miss. There's elements in the newspaper that I will admit because in high school, my mom used to have to take me super early. Like she had to leave. We'd leave our house by 5:30 and I had to work out a deal verbally with the security guard at Park Rose to be like, hey, I got to come in early.
Can you let me in early?
I ain't got daycare. I ain't taking no bus. Like, I need to be let in. And he was really cool, and he let me in, and I would go in there, and unfortunately, I would take a newspaper, and I would completely dismantle the newspaper, roll it right back up. The sections I took out, I didn't put back in.
Oh, you're a newspaper thief.
I was a bit of a newspaper thief.
Newspaper
thief. Yeah, you gotta get it back in order so all the folds fit together and you can.
I didn't want to do. I was lazy and like I had the sports. I take Metro, and I think I would do the food one once in a while just because I liked reading about it. But when I got suspended for stealing Powerade, my vice principal, as she dismissed me, said, "Oh, and stop stealing our newspaper. We know you're stealing the newspaper. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, open your backpack. And I,
there you go.
There it is. Four sections of today's newspaper in my backpack.
Here's all week's sports sections right here. It's an esteemed feeling, though, isn't it, when you still read a newspaper? Like, it happens rarely to me.
Yeah.
But I feel good about myself.
I totally understand why.
Like, drinking a coffee and reading a newspaper. Like, you go to a coffee shop, you open up the newspaper. Like, you feel official. Like, I'm getting something done right now.
Well, the other thing I always appreciated about it was once I had it, I was more likely at some point to read about things I wouldn't normally gravitate to simply because I had it. I think we lose that. We can set up all of our feeds from wherever 100%. We're getting them from just to send us the stuff that we're interested in. And we've lost the ability to be curious about things that we wouldn't otherwise take the time to notice or care about.
I think that's the part that I probably miss, because you're so right. Everything's been tailored into my algorithm.
Yeah.
That it's like, you love sports, you love cooking, you're obsessed with golf. Occasionally you look at smoking hot chicks, you love travel. Like, everything gets kind of algorithmed into your life. So it's your laptop, it's your cell phone, it's your iPad. I feel like somehow Netflix and those streaming services are starting to hear us the way that our Alexas are. And so it's like
recommending the shows that you always watch.
Everything is tailored to me. Whereas, like, I remember picking that up. Honestly, I'd pick the sports section up. This is going to be a little vague.
You always gravitate to what you're most interested in first.
I wanted to see the high school box scores because I wanted to see, did they put my last name?
Right. Yeah, did I show up?
Did they spell it right?
Yeah, Sprague, 18 points last night. Park Rose lost by 88 points. Like, I cared about seeing that.
Hey, that was badass. I still have newspaper clippings. That was a big deal.
You still have newspaper clippings
from my high school exploits.
Well, my go-to this is the oldest opening segment of our entire show. The thing I go to, if you have a huge sports moment. So I'm trying to think of the most recent one. I'll go with this one. When LeBron and the Cavs came back and beat the Warriors, or Mariota won the Heisman, those are monumental sports moments for a lot of different reasons. I'm not a Duck fan, but, like, holy crap, we saw an Oregon Duck quarterback win the Heisman Trophy.
Pretty big deal.
And Oregon State wrote a congrats letter, which was very controversial the moment.
Yeah.
My go-to reaction for these things is to go to the newspapers locally and buy the newspapers. So I think I have
one from the Oregon State's first baseball title.
I have their second one. Like, I have Barry Bonds breaking the home run record, even though most people don't consider it. I have LeBron, and I went to the Akron newspaper website and I ordered it. I went to, I picked up multiple copies of the Oregonian when Mariota won, and I gave one to Dirt. My gut reaction when monumental sports things happens, I love the look of a front page newspaper highlighting said big event.
The full cover.
Yeah.
With the title of the newspaper
big
on
headline,
top of it.
And I want to frame
font.
Them, but I'm so cheap and I'm so poor.
That'll happen later in life. You'll
at some point, I'll dive in and say, oh, it's $300 to frame all these. Cool. It's probably more than that, but, like, here's my money.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I think that's a cool, it's a clean look to me. But that's still kind of my go-to for big sports events, is I'm kind of like, I want to go to this newspaper and see what their front page is.
I wish there was a way to, you know, modernize an actual physical newspaper. Like, because stuff's going, I understand why they're going away.
What do you mean, like a digital version?
Like a Kindle version, basically?
What are you talking about?
Well, that's what, like, is there a way to, you know, print and hold an actual newspaper with newsprint, but have it be printed somewhere at some machine in real time? So I have time now. I'm going, whether it's the afternoon, whether you're getting on a flight to go somewhere and I'm going to be, you know, kind of disengaged for 2 hours from everything else. And you could go where all the stories, it's got some software in it that will digitally edit a newspaper based on what are the most current stories going on. You can print it, take
like
it with
you. Like an a la carte printout of the newspaper that you want to read.
But it's probably massively expensive and something huge that you'd have to. But because
I like where your mind's going.
Well, I remember talking about that with newspapers back in the day, was the a la carte thing. Because you're like, I don't read the business section.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not too going. Stupid.
I'm not classifieds. Don't print all the damn classifieds anymore. Just give me, you know.
Oh,
if you
we
wanna...
used to read the classified ads. Back in the day, the...
There's some entertainment in there.
I missed you at the coffee shop today. I was holding a bagel. Yeah. You said your name was Samantha. Let's link up. I love reading that garbage. And I always would wonder, does now, this work?
Now there's Tinder. I mean...
Well, yeah. Who's yeah. still going? Does anybody still go through the classifieds?
I don't know.
Is that still a thing?
There's definitely a group
people
of
looking
people.
For jobs.
Some old, yeah.
It's probably somebody listening to this show with a transistor radio. Yeah.
Highlighting the classifieds.
They're trying
as
to
they
sell
listen.
Their 1998 Corolla or something. And
well, and then Craigslist came up and it yeah. stepped up a notch and it was like, I'm looking for sex. Yeah. It was like, whoa.
Classifieds
are getting rated R.
Any other furries out there? Wait, what? What's happening right now?
Handcuffs and spankings. Who wants them?
I have so many, like, back to the memorabilia thing, though. I have so many cool memorabilia pieces because my dad did the same thing. Like, he saved things for years and now he's getting to the age in life where it's like, I don't, you know, I just, these are just boxes yeah. in the basement. I don't need these
it's
anymore.
It's kind of what I'm afraid my life is going right? to turn into.
And he's like, here, take this, here, yeah. take this. And it's like, hey, here's a Sports Illustrated from 1980, whatever, when the 49ers beat, you know, so-and-so in the Super Bowl. And it's yep. like, so I got all these old, I have bins and bins and bins of this stuff. And when we moved into the new house, I finally had the ability to like start a bit of a man cave in the garage. That was the coolest part by far of moving into a new house, was ordering a couple of frames. I got the Joey and Ken Simonton Sports Illustrated frame.
See, that's a frame. That's a picture that
like,
I want to get.
That's an Oregon and Oregon State. Like, that yeah. was a huge moment in my childhood. Oregon and Oregon State were number one and number two. And I know Oregon State doesn't remember that season fondly, and it's the SI curse. But, like, that was like seeing the college football preview with the Ducks and the Beavers on there. I'll never forget.
It may never happen again in our
probably
lives.
Probably won't ever happen again. So, like, I got that framed. I got a Niner one framed. I got a Mariota one. Like, it just was so cool to, like, go through and be like, all right, what is frame-worthy for me right now? And then I'll get to all the other stuff later. But picking, like, five or six items out, getting them framed, it was badass, man.
It's just also, like, where are you going to place them? You know, that's...
Man cave, baby.
Do you have a man cave?
I do, in the garage, but I've ran out of wall space. I only have one wall, and I've ran out of wall space very quickly.
Yeah.
So I need a more expansive basement man cave where I have multiple walls that I could fill. You know, I got a lot more stuff.
I know. I saw this. I got algorithm on Instagram. A Packer fan man cave popped up. And this dude's getting all kind of publicity. It is maybe the sickest man cave I've ever seen in my life. And he's this diehard Green Bay Packer fan. And I'm just like, yeah, it's basically a basement.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that was my dream. We were looking for a house. I'm like, I want a basement and I'm going to be very selfish with it. We didn't find a basement. We found it upstairs and there's no bedroom. So I'm relegated to where the cat box is. I'm in the garage. Me, the flies, and the cat turds.
This is where I'm at.
Memorabilia.
There was a Knicks fan that put a replica of the Jumbotron on the ceiling of their basement. It was like a basement that had a little bit higher ceilings.
That's badass.
And they put the replica and it has four TVs in it. And you can change the channels of the different TVs. And it's the Madison Square Garden. Jumbotron.
I'm so jealous of those people,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Someday, baby. Someday.
Someday. Ken Barkley at 8 a.m. And the daily ticker goes to Penn State College Station today at 7:30 for the Dirty Poll. It is 8:16. You are welcome. And I'll tell you what for next on the fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I truly believe that yesterday my co-host, Spirit Animal, stepped to home plate to this song. And it was one of the more entertaining at-bat entrances in baseball history as Daniel Vogelbach of the Mets had the Chris Farley-like run the other day against my Bravos.
That he did. He's
from
a big
first
boy.
To home. He ain't just a big boy. He's not just thick anymore. He's all leaning all in on the I'm fat thing.
Legitimately fat.
You got like him. You got like Telez in Milwaukee that has a similar frame.
They're just leaning into it, and good for them. They know they love to eat fried chicken, and they love to play baseball. So let's balance these two lifestyles.
You know what? I'm going to push back on that a little bit.
And
I support the fats usually. I'm a fat supporter.
Okay.
Like, there's no excuse to be that fat in baseball.
I mean, he just needs to hit dingers.
He's not good. That's the he sucks, and they both kind of suck. And being in shape would help you be a better professional athlete.
You think it would?
I do, yeah. As somebody who watched Pablo Sandoval for years fluctuate his weight year in and year out, and if he was in shape in spring training, you're like, hey, we're going to have a good year this year. And then when he was 40 pounds overweight, you thought, we're going to hit about 216 and not be able to run the bases, and your belt's going to snap off.
Fair point, but
like,
Daniel,
you're a professional athlete. You're not an offensive lineman. It's one thing to be an offensive lineman.
Well, they're also professional athletes.
They are.
I don't know if you know that.
Supposed to be as big as humanly possible. There is no, like, you give bad names to baseball players because people want to say baseball players aren't athletes, and it's just stupid. And then you see a picture of Daniel Vogelbach, and you're like, see, told you. Like, I don't really have a counter argument to that.
I would argue, actually, offensive linemen even are not what they once were. They're massive, but they're like 6'7" now.
Yeah. It's totally changed for sure.
They're like in shape, chunky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not fat. Like, Sukanik talks about, you know, his days playing it. Back in the day, some of those dudes, massively fat. But the way that they've looked at muscle and body types, you're not seeing even the traditional offensive linemen anymore. They're just massive human beings.
They are.
Vogelbach is all in on being fat.
Yeah.
He stepped to the plate yesterday to Kalise's milkshake, and everybody on the SNY and in the crowd just quite enjoyed that he's leaning in to his inner fatness.
He is, man.
Well, his outer, inner, whatever you want to call it.
He got that inertia working for him, though, the other day.
Yes, he did.
He was moving. Look, that
catcher
was funny.
Catcher wants nothing with a play at the plate
no
with
way.
Him coming.
Talk about a misleading number, too. On ESPN, he's listed at 6'2". There's no way that dude weighs 250.
That's three bills.
That's three bills.
That's three bills now.
Easily three bills. Easily.
You guys are welcome again. I did not watch day baseball in Seattle, and here we are.
Yeah, I did watch that little comeback.
It wasn't a Luis Castillo pitching performance.
No, Robbie Ray kept him in it long enough.
Gonzalez goes yard late. There you go.
Got some good relief action, and then, the bats rallied. Haggerty had a home run, and then speaking of some inner fatness, Carlos Santana,
that's who I meant to say, Santana.
Not svelte.
Two-run home run.
Boom.
Boom, stick going out yard. They beat the Yankees. Second series they've beaten the Yankees in the last three, I want to say it is.
It's the first time they've won the season series against the Yankees in 20 years.
Yeah, 4-2.
Good for them. They've been robbed in their farm system for years due to the Yankees, so good for them.
Now they got a 9-game road trip against all three teams below them in the AL West standings.
And this is unfair.
Let's go.
2-0 without me watching. If they go to 3-0, like, I can't watch the rest of the year.
I think once they lose a game when you're not watching, you can watch again. Like, that's now that they've won two in a row and it was a big series win, you got to lay out until they lose a game and then you can dive back in. Although your team is worth watching, so at least you have that going for you.
Yeah. But the Mariners now a half game behind Toronto for the number one wild card slot.
Can we spend more time talking about what Baltimore's doing, please?
I do believe they deserve a conversation.
Yeah. What Baltimore's doing after trading their closer and Trey Mancini, who was the heart of the locker room at the deadline. And I had no problem with either of those deals because I saw Baltimore where they were in the standing. It's like, that's great. It's a cool story. They're not making the playoffs. No chance in hell Baltimore's making the playoffs.
I hated those moves.
See, I didn't mind them because I figured they're going to fade. It's Baltimore and they're not that good. They've just kind of rode a lucky streak at the end of the first half. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're playing great baseball, and they're tied with Tampa for the third wild card spot. They're only a game and a half behind Seattle. They're only two games behind Toronto, who holds the top wild card spot. That's where Baltimore's at. And them making the playoffs would be incredible. We talked about Edwin Diaz and his trumpets as the intro music, which is just fantastic. Have you seen what Baltimore's closer has started to do?
So I saw...
Bautista, isn't that who it is?
I believe so.
And is the lights flashing thing, is that what he's
Felix
doing?
Felix Bautista. So he's playing the... Did either of you guys watch The Wire?
No.
I have not finished The Wire.
Okay,
no.
Well, The Wire is arguably the greatest television show in history.
And it's in
It was
Baltimore.
Based in Baltimore.
Baltimore, yeah.
Incredible television show. And anybody who has not watched it should go watch it, because it's that good. One of the characters in the show, his name is Omar, yep. And he has a song where he whistles. It's the actor just passed away. His name escapes me off the top of my head, but where he whistles and he would come into a ghetto and they knew he was going to rob you, and he would whistle as he would walk through the town.
There's a great video where he's walking in an apartment complex and everybody's running away.
Right? Everybody's scattering away. So he plays the mute. That's his intro music now, and the lights go down and they dim and they flash, and it goes back to what you talked about the other day. Like, these guys should lean into it as wrestlers. This dude has, and it is badass when he walks out in the ninth inning.
I saw somebody, I want to say it was an NBA guy, and I believe he's a Braves fan, so there's an obvious reason for his number one, but he did top five teams he's rooting for in baseball. Like, I have an ability, some people can't do this. It's amazing to me when I meet people in the real world, they can't enjoy anything outside of their team. It's their team, yeah. All the time. Every day, I have an ability to love my team, but also root for others because I love the storyline.
Yeah.
And so he did top five teams he's rooting for in baseball. Number one ended up being the Bravos. I just assume that's his favorite team.
Sure.
The Mariners, the O's, and the Jays. I did this game at my house yesterday when I saw the suite. I think all three of those teams are in there. And I'll throw the Padres in because they've been a miserable franchise for a long, long time.
Yeah, speak for yourself there.
Sure. NL West, I get it. They just beat you. But I think outside of the Braves, those would be four of my top five. The Mariners, the Jays, the O's, and the Padres.
I don't have any issue with that. I think that's a pretty good list. Yeah. The only other team I would throw in there, because my team is rapidly fading in the playoff chase, it's over, so I gotta find a rooting interest. See, I want Seattle to make the playoffs.
Definitely.
But like, their fan base deserves it. Baltimore is a close second because everything they've been through the last couple of years, and Adley Rutschman's an awesome story, and seeing him come up in year one and play the way he's played and kind of take control, be a leader in that locker room, and then make the playoffs, that'd be really cool. The other team that I am rooting hard for, because every time I read through the history, I'm amazed at how bad the history is the Minnesota Twins.
I thought about the Twins
are there for me, man.
But they beat the Braves in 91, and
that was a long,
it was a long time ago.
They got a long way to go, though.
30 disappointment.
The Dodgers smacked them around pretty good.
Yeah, they did.
Games.
I mean, if they have to play the Yankees at some point in the playoffs, which maybe happens, you know, you have to root for Minnesota in that situation. You have to.
Do you have the Swigard teams outside of the Doyers who are having the greatest year ever, like that you kind of pull for?
I'm definitely getting roped into what the Mariners are doing. And also because I was up there, I lived up there in 95 and went through all that when they might be leaving. And then, you know, the amazing 95 year to get in and beating the Yankees and the whole that. So,
yeah.
The Orioles is also a really good story. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, the Orioles were one of the franchises.
Same. They were a good franchise, great fan base.
So, yeah.
Until that little punk kid took a Derek Jeter home run over the wall.
It's usually AL teams, isn't it?
It can't be the rival of my teams.
It can't be the Padres, right?
It can't be the Giants or the Padres. That'll never happen. Football, it'll never be the Giants or the Eagles or the...
Or the Commanders.
Whatever Washington
the
is.
Commies.
Won't be that. Probably won't be the 49ers either.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are certain teams you'll never root for.
But no, once my team is out of it or, you know, whatever. You know, now, I mean... Yeah, the Dodgers, like, okay.
So far ahead of everybody. Just shut up, all right? Shut up.
It's like, okay. Yeah,
nothing to watch the rest of the regular season.
You can't beat us, okay.
$2 billion for a roster, and we've won 77 games. Shocker.
Well, but now everything's on. You better pay this off.
You know, well, I mean, yeah. they just gave you a World Series 2 years ago, my man. They got to the LCS. Well, like,
kind of, I come in every day. You guys say it doesn't count. Kind of let's get one.
You know, it's like a half. It's like the Huskies. It's cute. You know, you kind of won one, kind of, you know.
Do you feel like us saying it doesn't count has crept into his mindset of 100%. Like, I need a 162 season this where the Dodgers win?
He's Kevin Durant right now. He's a bit of Kevin Durant. Like, you got one. You got one. But in the back of your mind, you're saying, you know, if I could just win a legitimate one, it'd be great. And then you can count the other. Then it's okay. Then you go, hey, we got two. But when that's the only one you got, it weighs on you a little bit.
And if we could take out the Cardinals, the Braves, and the Astros along the way doing it, sure. that would be a lot more fun.
Sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about it, man. It's fun. And I'm happy for Mariner fan. Tweets again yesterday. Texts again yesterday. Hey, I don't know if you're watching this day baseball. Don't turn it on. I'm like, okay, cool. You're welcome.
Turn it on.
Turn my TV off now. But congratulations, Mariner fan. Series win over the Yankees. That's great. Only time we'll be rooting for you against you the rest of the year is when the Bravos are in town and I'm at that game.
First time in 20 years, man. That's pretty remarkable.
It's looking pretty good for them. I don't want to jinx it, but it feels like it's kind of a done deal.
It's not a done deal.
But it kind of feels like it's a done
deal. It's not anywhere near a done deal.
They're doing this without Julio.
Not even close to being a done deal.
They're doing it without Julio.
But it does look good.
Yes.
It does look good.
They need to take care of business.
They're
on this
road
trip.
They're only a game and a half up on both Tampa and Baltimore.
Yeah. Looking good.
Only a game and a half up.
They look good.
There's a lot of baseball. There's like 50 games left. 40 Believe, games baby. Left. How much have we got? There's a lot left.
All right. Swag won't shut up. 6:32. You mentioned Kevin Durant. We have to get to that. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:37, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. A lot to get to. Bruce Feldman saying the Ducks could be a sleeper this year.
Ooh, we're sleeping. The people are sleeping on us.
We're sleeping.
Why don't you wake up, bruh?
DJ Johnson making his top freaks in college football list.
Okay, I like DJ Johnson. He's a stud.
He is a stud. He's the former defensive end turned tight end, right?
Turned defensive end, turned tight end, turned defensive end. That's right.
Oh, he went back to defense.
He is fully on defense now.
Okay.
Dan Lanning has come in and said, you're not going to play tight end anymore.
I think Dan Lanning was like, I've seen like 7 of you in Georgia in a year. You're beneficial on that side of the ball more than you running an out route.
We really need a big edge rusher that's, you know, 6'5" and 280 pounds. And, you know, that could help us. A little speed, a little strength off the edge. That's what we need.
So we'll get to that at some point today. We will go to College Station for the Daily Ticker, the number 17 team, Penn State.
That's right, 17.
USC tomorrow with Ryan Abraham. So we got USC rounding out the week in the Dirty Poll, the top 25 unofficial, but the official preseason college football poll that you need to pay attention to.
That it is.
So we'll go there. And Ken Barkley at 8 a.m. I ask you this simply. We all know how we feel about this topic.
Uh-oh. Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I plead the fifth.
I don't want to answer.
Deshaun Watson's going to play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's still a thing.
Is the NFL going to do anything about this or just let him trot out there in his beautiful brown uniform and slang the rock around and act like he did nothing wrong. Like, what is the NFL going? They have to be doing something before he plays, right?
I would hope so. Yeah.
There's no way this guy can play. Not even in a preseason game.
I don't know what the specific rules are. So other guys who have been suspended for not indefinitely. If you're suspended indefinitely, you're done. You can't do anything.
But there's an appeals process going on. So
there's an appeal, but it's not the player. But in other cases where a player, I'm trying to remember, where a player has been suspended for like the first six or eight games, were they allowed to play in? I think they could practice, but were they allowed to play in preseason games?
I don't believe so, but I don't remember that off the top of my head.
What are we doing?
It doesn't make any sense.
It's a bad look for the league
what
if this dude
Jimmy
trots
Haslam
out there.
Haslam
yeah,
doing?
They
well,
are,
they've sold out. That French, Stefanski,
oh,
Haslam, Barry, they're sellouts, man. And not that they're exempt from this, but they've sold out. What are they doing? They're doing anything they can to win a football game.
Yes, I understand from the coaching standpoint.
They sucked forever.
Yeah.
The coaching standpoint, this guy hasn't taken a live snap in a real game of any kind for whatever. If I'm going to play him at some point this season, I would like to see what he looks like. That I get from a coaching standpoint because that's just their little bubble.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, the big picture, like ownership, GM, the league, I'm like, what are we doing? I don't know if the league has authority to shut him down
unless they come out with their appeal.
If they win the
ruling,
appeal and
right?
they get the indefinite suspension, we're like, you're not doing anything until we say so, then yes. But I don't know when that the guy they brought in, the former prosecutor, is going to make a ruling.
Yeah, we don't know that. We do know how Goodell feels about it because he talked about it the other day and he said it should be a full year suspension with significant financial punishments.
Imagine there was a phone call at some point from the league office to Haslam and go, what the bleep are you doing?
The Cleveland's sticking the middle finger to everybody. Like,
they are.
They're going to dare you to do something.
If you're not going to suspend him longer, we're going to play him, right? If you're going to do something about this, we're going to play him. We want to, you know, it's going to put butts in the seats. Cleveland fans are going to cheer him on, right? Like, that's not surprising anybody. And we'll see how the NFL responds to it. You could throw him on the commissioner's exempt list, I guess, in the time being, as you await a hearing. He's still going to get his money through that, but at least you can keep him off the field until you are able to sort through all this stuff. Somebody said Tom Brady played through his appeal. But that's the thing. When you appeal it personally, you can continue to play. Like, that happens
in
baseball.
They're not contesting a six-game suspension. They are ready to accept a six-game suspension. I just don't know.
That was a gift to him. When they got that, that was a gift because he was asked about it. He basically doubled down. I didn't do anything wrong.
The NFL is the one that's appealing it. They're saying, wait, that's all we're giving them? They're the ones that are appealing it. So I think that's kind of why this is a hair complicated. Brady appealed his because he didn't deserve a four-game suspension, and he should not have gotten a four-game suspension. The only way this ends well for the NFL is if something steps in and he's not allowed to play in the preseason and you end up getting a year suspension with a significant financial punishment. Like, that's the only way this ends well for the NFL. Roger Goodell usually gets what he wants in these instances, and I imagine he's going to get what he wants here. And I think this is a legacy play for him. He realizes how bad his record is on suspending guys for various reasons, but including domestic violence and sexual assault. He doesn't have a great track record with this. And he's nearing the end of his career, and I think he realizes, I don't want to be remembered for Deshaun Watson doing all of this and getting suspended for six games. We came to this agreement. We got a judge to come in. Both sides agreed on the person. She, for some dumb reason, decides six games. That is unacceptable. I got to step in and drop the hammer here. And I think if he does that, this will be out of sight, out of mind, at least for a year. And by the time next year comes, it won't be as big of a black eye on the NFL. But if he plays in the preseason and it's a six-game suspension, it's going to be a lingering storyline. I pointed it out that when the suspension first came down, his first game back, I believe, would be against like Cincinnati in a divisional showdown of two playoff-caliber teams. Like,
huge
that's
game.
All we're going to talk about that week. Goodell does not want that, and he usually gets what he wants. So I still suspect a year suspension coming.
Well, I got a little more on this because how we feel about the narrative that is out there about Deshaun Watson, it's sometimes these ones become controversial. I don't know if this is controversial anymore. This feels like a huge percentage of the world screaming at the NFL and a franchise, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is gross. It's disgusting. Roger Goodell made a comment on Watson. We'll get to that coming up. I believe we have that cut. So a little more on this. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. Are we buying that Oregon's a sleeper team in college football?
Quit sleeping on my squad.
Oh, God. Give me a break.
Come on now. I'm not the one saying it.
No, you probably echo it. talking about Deshaun Watson's going to play in this preseason game and how gross that whole thing is going to be. And it is. It has been. I saw a video before it was announced he was going to play. I think their game is on Friday.
Yeah, they play the Jags tomorrow.
Jags. There's a game tonight, actually.
There's two games tonight.
Two games tonight. So the
explain to me why we get Giants Patriots on TV instead of Titans and Ravens.
Why does it matter?
It does matter because I'd rather watch Malik Willis in Tennessee. I want to see what he's got cooking. Lamar's probably not going to play. But
I hope Lamar doesn't play.
He shouldn't. But Baltimore's won like 20 straight preseason games. Like yeah. I want to like that is a, far,
a gambling angle.
Dude,
right
that
now.
Is a far more entertaining game than watching Daniel Jones versus Mac. Like no,
Mac
thank
Jones
you.
Isn't going
to
play.
He's not even going to play. No, thank you. I want nothing to do with that game. But I will watch.
Who knows? But the NFL, they end up showing like all of them. So as soon as that game ends live, I'm going to guess then they will start the
Tennessee
game. So sometime around 7:30.
Are we really bitching about what is played on television
yes,
for preseason
we are.
Football?
I'm locking in a parlay tonight.
And you can't lock that parlay in if one team's not on TV.
I want to be able to watch my winning bet, man. Can we get a red zone tonight?
I'd be all down for the preseason
they'll
red
do
zone.
One,
Scott Hansen, when
there
you
will
him.
Be 1 week of preseason red zone. It's either on a Friday or a Saturday when most of the preseason games are being played at the same time. Usually week two,
they
I think they'll do one.
They need that, too, for
they,
a run-through.
They like
rundown.
To do a dress rehearsal, too. Just make sure who knows how many new people are behind the scenes in production and what new elements they have to work in. So.
Giants and Ravens.
So before I had seen that, you know, what the that he was going to play, I saw a video. And the video was a line of kids, two boys, a girl, and the line goes on and on. Deshaun Watson on a knee signing autographs. And I just kind of thought, this is so weird.
I mean, that's the way it works, man.
No, it doesn't have to work that way, though. Like
it doesn't, but it does.
But it's so odd. It's not.
I know. Yeah. I know. I wouldn't be able to do it as a fan, but every fan base would do this.
It's this
literally
well,
every
know,
fan base
I
would.
I know every fan base would, but it was a similar feeling to when we went up and we did Seahawk camp. I think the first or second year, and we had just gone on commercial or the show had ended. I couldn't remember what it was, but Seahawk practice was over. And where we were doing our shows at camp was right by family, friends, VIPs, et cetera, because we were VIP. I mean, come on. Portland, Oregon?
Come on.
Home of the Seahawks here, buddy. But we were up, and we'd see everybody interacting. It was the same feeling I had as when I saw a bunch of ladies and little kids lining up. Hey, Frank Clark, can I get your autograph? And I'm just like... Did you read anything at all?
The answer to that would be no. Or they read it and they just don't care because he's good for their football team. And that's the way it works. It's tribalism at its finest. We don't care if it's our guy. If it's our guy, it's totally fine. He's innocent. Come on, take it easy on him. He shouldn't be suspended.
That kid doesn't really understand. These kids are tiny. They're young. They're getting the quarterback's autograph. This is cool. What are they going to say if in 10 years we look back and this dude, his entire legacy, like this is tarnished his legacy forever. And let's say he trips up again and has some another, like what's that kid supposed to say? Like, oh, you let me go get an autograph from that guy.
I got that autograph.
And you knew everything. Like, it's just
thanks,
odd
Mom.
To me to watch that kind of stuff. Like these kids lining up and he's, let me sign your hat here, kid.
It's the ugly, unfortunate side of all of this. Right. And it's why it's gross, but it's the nature of the beast. And I've been trying to point this out all summer because he's been in the news and I've, just wait. I mean, we're going to get to a point where he wins a big game on national television and the broadcasters, it's not even going to be mentioned on the telecast. It's just going to be, God, what a great trade for Cleveland. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, eventually we will get there. We get there with all of these guys. And it's sad, but that's the way that this machine works. The most frustrating part to me, I think, out of all this, and this is just lately, I don't want to take away from the crimes that were obviously committed here. The fact that, like, never has there been any contrition, never has there been any remorse. Like, of course he's not going to come out and acknowledge that he sexually assaulted all these women because he's defending himself in court and he's facing lawsuits. But, like, hey, I made a bunch of people feel like crap. I made a bunch of people suffer emotional and physical harm because of my, like, just showing a shred of remorse. Like, we as a country are a very forgiving society. We love giving second chances to basically anybody outside of a small number of crimes that can be committed. We usually welcome you with open arms, man, of saying, like, yeah, you showed some remorse. You owned up to what you did wrong. You're battling through some demons. Like, what? We usually will say, you know what? Good for you, man. I'm glad you're fixing yourself. I'm glad you're putting the right foot forward. when you go the other direction and you're adamant and you show no remorse, you act like you did nothing wrong, it just, it makes it even uglier for me. And that to me, like reading through the Sue Robinson report, which again, you can't even figure out how she got to six games, but the fact that through all the interviews that he did with her and anybody else with the league, when every time he sat, there was never a shred of remorse for the actions that he had. That in and of itself is worth a 17-game suspension. And that to me, just as of late, again, not taking away from the crimes, but that as of late is the ugliest part of this. Just show a hair of remorse, man. Act like you got a pulse.
The last time I think we heard him talk, he basically said, I didn't do anything wrong. And then Haslam, the owner of the Browns, sent out the statement. It was like, he's been nothing but remorseful.
Which is total BS.
It was a contradiction of the reality of the situation. And so I'm with you. It's not surprising, I guess, to see people treat athletes like this because they're athletes. Oh my God, you throw a football so much better than I ever could. But it's more just this one's pretty gross. It's pretty universal. And they're going to trot him out on a Friday and say, hey, go play. And where is that? That's not a home game, is it? Is it a home game?
No, it's in Jacksonville.
So
that crowd, who knows what that crowd's going to do? I would hope that they'd boo, but I don't know.
Trevor Lawrence is going to play in that game. I know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My boy.
Why?
They got to work out some kinks, man. It's preseason.
It's training camps for
new coach.
New coach, right? You got to understand the playbook.
Put a red jersey on during preseason. How pissed would we be over that? Can't hit the quarterback.
I don't think I would be that upset by it. If it meant we got to watch more quarterbacks play in the preseason, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, give me something to watch.
I mean, they're glorified scrimmages. That's what they are to begin with.
Does he get rained down with booze? Yes or no?
Yes. By 47 people in Jacksonville.
Depends on the size of that Jaguar preseason crowd.
I think it's going to be decent because he's going to play.
We'll see. Hopefully they bring it because, it needs to be quite vocal.
We have a loaded second hour. We'll go to College Station, Penn State, number 17. Can James Franklin and Penn State keep up in what is going to be this revamped Big Ten? Or they kind of are what they are, which seems to be a 2-3 loss team from time to time. We'll take a visit there. We got crunch time around the corner as well, but we start the second hour. Oregon, a sleeper? Really? We're buying this? Hour 2 on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.